time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is May 4th, 2020. So good to have you joining us. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and an increasing number of other industry participants are joining in, realtors and the like, builders and people on the Hill in D.C. We welcome you all. We're grateful to have you as our listener, and again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. So grateful to have you here. Today, in the Hot Topic, I am excited to have an old friend come back, Dale Vermillion. He'll be with us. He is the founder and CEO of Mortgage Champions. He has taught over 450 lenders and 1 million loan officers since 1995 on a systematic and value-based approach to sales, customer service, and management that delivers results and builds lasting customer loyalty. Man, I am excited to have him here joining us. You know, people ask us, how do you select the hot topics? It always seems like it just fits. It just seems to work with kind of what's going on in the industry. The reason I asked Dale to come on is as we look at this industry coming back, as we start coming out of COVID, various states are coming out of the COVID-19 lockdown and starting to see more activity start happening. I think there's a huge pent-up demand in the mortgage industry. As we get ready to respond to this demand, I believe housing is going to lead this economic recovery. It's going to be very significant. I think it's going to lead us out of the housing economic self-imposed coma. So I thought it would be timely to get Dale back on and talk about what he's talking about with customers he's working with. And he just referred me another one of his clients. I was talking to that client and he was telling me all the stuff that Dale did for him. I go, man, we got to share this with our audience. That's why we're having Dale on. Talk about how you can recover strong in this recovery. I believe it's about to happen. Also, we talk about why we do this podcast. I was just talking to one of our clients this morning, Alcova Mortgage. Love these guys. And they're talking about videos and how do you keep ego out? We want to communicate more, but how do you keep ego out? It really comes down to your purpose. Why are you doing this? Are you doing this to make your name great or communicate something about how awesome you are? Or is it about helping people? This podcast exists to educate and help our listeners grow. Yes, I put my name on it. I got that idea from Neil Cavuto directly. He said we were naming the podcast, and I said, what should I name this thing? Talking to one of his producers, he said, put your name on it, Lickin. You'll probably be a little more important to you to make sure it's done in excellence. So we seek excellence. We're always looking for ideas. If you know ways we can make this even more effective, we're here. But we plan our hot topics just before I dialed in to get in the switchboard. I was on talking with Gregory Keith, Senior Vice President of Risk at Ginnie Mae. We're going to have him coming on and talking about how do we get the right people into the Ginnie Mae system. Not about more. It's about getting the right ones in. Greg has agreed to come on and talk to us. We've had him on as a guest before. We're going to get him back on. Boy, what a timely time. So many saying, we got to have a Ginnie Mae approval. Well, are you ready? We're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more other important topics. We're excited. Our why is to help you grow and learn, folks. We're going to do that on the Hot Topics segment and throughout the whole program. So let's get on. Proud to be a part of the industry syndicate, checkout.com. And we're also very pleased to be a part of both the industry syndicate and mortgage media. Go check out their website. Also, we've launched a new series. Dave Matthews and myself are doing a weekly or twice a month, which is what we're starting out. We may go weekly and then we may do more regularly than that, is called The Daves, The Two Daves. Dave Matthews, Dave Lickin. We're talking about industry stuff that's going on. And then we've got David Stevens joining us, one of our upcoming ones. It's really funny to be doing these as we provide thought leadership. They've got the thought, they got the leadership. I'm showing up, I don't know, maybe for educational and some entertainment factor there. But I'm honored to be a part of that as well. So check out Industry Syndicate as well as Mortgage Media. We're grateful for our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Go check out the April 17th podcast with Bill Kilmer and Pete Mills. Very informative. informative. That thing is getting shared a ton. It's talking about what the MBA is doing about the pandemic. And while you're there at their website, sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. Very important. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to be a part of and have your voice heard through the Mortgage Action Alliance application. Then also, Finastra. Love our friends at Finastra, who automatically addresses compliance issues by delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity. Then we have our two co-ops that we're part of, Lenders One, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these co-ops help you create competitive advantages for both lenders and vendor members. Also, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. Love these guys and what they're doing and having the voice heard. MBA does a great job, and they do it oftentimes in partnership with the CMLA. I encourage you to become a member of them or consider that. Indicom, they're grateful to have them. Great outsourcing solution, as well as Incelerate, what Josh does there and helping create connectivity. Customer engagement is very powerful, as well as some great technology, pre-designed campaigns, and helping with buyer engagement. And then also check out Adam Wellwood's testimony on our Ainsworth Advisory website. Go to ainsworthadvisors.com. Check out Adam Wellwood's testimony. Talk about how he saved $300,000 to his bottom line by having as his corporate advisors, Ainsworth Advisors. Very compelling story. Check that out. As well as AI Assist. Are you using artificial intelligence to reach your buyers? Let me tell you, check it out in our advertising page, powerful tool. Also, Celebrity Home Loans. We had Pete Gabrione talking to us about their growth plans through M&A. Very powerful testimony. We had him on the podcast back on November 18th. If you want to hear about that, mergers and acquisitions, you got to check out KnowledgeCoop.com. Amazing what they're doing. Then we also will work with Mobility RE and Modex, both of these platforms that are helping you on the recruiting side. We had Ben as a guest on our podcast here recently. It was a really good, developing a lot of listenership out of that. As well as Modex. We've got Dale Larson coming up on the program soon. Looking forward to having him here. As well as Velma, Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant, VendorServe, Vidyard, who are doing videos. And also a big thank you goes out to Alan, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions each and every week. So let's get over to Rob Van Rapport.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Today, FHFA announced that the GSEs have created online multifamily property lookup tools. This is to help renters find out if they are protected from evictions during the COVID-19 pandemic. The tools allow renters to find out if the multifamily property they live in has a GSE-backed mortgage. Under the CARES Act, renters living in a property with a GSE-backed mortgage are covered by a temporary eviction moratorium. Landlords with GSE-backed mortgages can enter forbearance if their tenants cannot pay rent due to COVID-19 loss of income. Additionally, in a recent blog post, MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith discussed forbearance and also highlighted the importance of repayment options as lenders and consumers work together on forbearance strategies. If you need further assistance on forbearance resources, feel free to visit MBA's COVID-19 resources page located on MBA.org. That's it for now. Thanks for joining me.
We will move on then to Les Parker's TM Spotlight with this week's macro view of the market. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy. EU cries with no one to blame. They're breaking down, breaking down. Will things ever be the same again? The great repricing continues with its uncertainty, particularly in Europe. The Eurozone members that use the euro want to rescue themselves from the COVID economic disaster, but disagree on how. The savers, like the Netherlands and Germany, want conditions, while the spenders, like Spain and Italy, want a blank check. So, Europe's economic union will change. Either they'll form a new economic union, or they reduce their members. Regardless, it's the final breakdown. These views my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
That's good job. Les Parker, Gary Kenterbone, I love your partnership and how you guys do that with the messaging. Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff. Joe Farr, who's joining us again live. Joe, good to have you here. Appreciate you. It's going to be interesting to find out what goes on with the union, European Union, especially when there's such diversity. Les kind of highlighted that. And for those of you that are not familiar with tmspotlight.com, go check it out. You can subscribe to Les's daily newsletter. It's free. Very good information in that. We have some top industry leaders. Stanley Middleman listens to it. So, but we also have Joe Farr here.
Hi.
So we're thrilled to have you here, friend. What's going on? MPS prices are down a little this morning. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, they're down 10 or 15 basis points. They've been bouncing around at that level. Stock market's down a little bit itself. If we're not dealing with enough, we're now going to have to deal maybe with a renewed trade war concern. The harsh comments by President Trump over the weekend toward China regarding, you know, he criticized China for their handling of the coronavirus and for failing to meet their commitments under the recently signed trade agreement. So he threatened new trade, new tariffs.
Sanctions,
The stock market didn't like that. So it opened lower and it's remained lower. It's recovered a little bit. So it's down 200 points or so right now. Last week was a little less volatile than I expected. I told you that I thought with all that was going on with central banker meetings and the important data that we'd see some volatility, but we really didn't. So it was nice to see prices improve just a little bit over the week. The economic data that came out was generally worse than expected, but really didn't have an impact on the market. Starting with GDP, it was expected to fall, but not at 4.8% annualized. So that was worse than expected. The pending home sales number was much worse than expected. It fell 20% when a 10% drop.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Weekless jobless claims were a little more than expected, but they were lower than the week before, so that's good. And then ISM manufacturing was really the only thing that beat expectations. The central bank, there were no real surprises from the Fed or the ECB. They both basically are pledging to do whatever it takes. During the week on Thursdays, Freddie Mac puts out their weekly mortgage market survey. And in this week's or last week's survey, they reported that the 30-year fixed rate was as low as it's ever been in their survey. So that's a good sign. I'm not so sure that our borrower customers are feeling that, but second market, the yields are pretty low. Looking at the week ahead, Dave, the biggest thing is going to be Friday's jobs report. It is expected to show a loss of 22 million jobs.
Whoa! Oh.
The unemployment rate is expected to jump over 16%. That would be the highest since 1939. Scary data. Obviously, scary data. And ISM services is expected to come out in it too. ISM measures put out a number, and the numbers above 50 mean expansion. The numbers below 50 mean they're measuring a contraction. And the expected number for April is 38, which would show a fairly large contraction. But like last week, and I expect this week as well, these bad numbers are expected. And even if they're worse than expected, that data just hadn't been moving the market. What we'll probably see a little more focus on is states that are beginning to reopen, their activities and the success or failure of their reopening is going to be a big market driver. And so we'll need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be interesting. The jobs numbers, can you believe 16%? We're at the lowest.
16%.
We were the lowest unemployment going into this thing in, what is it, four decades? Something like that? Three, 4 decades?
It was, yeah.
I think it's four decades. And now we're at the highest since 1939. So how can we recover?
We'll see. What comes out is bad. So.
We'll see. I won't be surprised. I was on list watching the market update with Barry Habib's website. For those of you guys who haven't seen that, go look at the mbshighway.com. They do a morning update, and it's Barry, Dan, and Megan. Sorry, I ain't Megan Anderson. She does a great job. And the three of them put out a word, and they were talking about the jobs numbers and what's going on. But also, I recently got a subscription to MBS Live. And folks, I am loving this. This is amazing. What's on MBS Live? and all one screen, which you can look at, more data, more screens. And I love screens. I love data. data. And there's so much of it here. And so you got to check out MBS Live. If you haven't already done so, be sure to get subscription on MBS Live and tell them you found out about it from looking here on Looking on Lending. Appreciate it so much. Joe, thank you so much for being here each and every week and have been here faithfully for over 10 years. One of the very original on here with us. So appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
You bet. Alice Alvey is not going to be able to join us today. Dallas, we love you and miss you. You're so much a part of this podcast, but we do have Alan Pollock here with a tech update. And I want to put in a plug for Finastra. Alan's with another great LOS system we should do. Open Close, they do a great job. But I first want to say that Finastra's mortgage loan origination system, their Fusion Bot Mortgage, is called Fusion Mortgage Bot, can increase revenue, and it offers great customer experience. That's one of the things I love, how it can be branded to your company and help build your business. So much is about technologies. They have over 1,400 clients that are already using this, and they're having an amazing experience. Anyway, Alan, good to have you here. And again, we give a shout out to Open Close, who lets you come on. You're part of our consulting firm. So you can write Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at TMS-Advisors. We also works with Open Close. So you may wear many hats, my friend. Busy guy. What you got?
I've got so much. And, you know, it's good to be busy. When I'm not busy, I wind up kind of, like most of us, we get kind of itchy and we want to look at our phone and figure out what's next. That's a good thing.
Are you a mad swiper, too? Are you finding your time swiping a lot on Facebook and looking at various, the LinkedIn sites and swiping through the stories? Is that something you do with some regularity?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the great thing about LinkedIn is I'd say 90% of the stuff that is posted is relevant. And it's good, right?
Yes.
Everybody does a good job of keeping everything non-LinkedIn out of LinkedIn, which really works out well.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, it's good to have you with us. What's your tech report today?
Well, this is sort of a warning, David, right? If you are having trouble with the Face ID on your iPhone because it won't recognize you with the mask on, there's an update Apple put out that's in beta, and it's coming out. That allows you, if it sees that you have a face mask on, it just immediately goes right to the password screen so you can enter in your password.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
So
the face recognition, they're putting in an algorithm or some programming in there. So if it sees a mask, it goes, okay, just go to the code. That's so funny.
Well, I don't know about you, but how many times have you not been able to get your face aligned with the phone? And it goes 3 or 4 times sometimes before you can get the keypad up, right? It's just kind of annoying.
It is.
Yeah. Fear no more. Face masks will soon help us get into our phones a lot faster than they do today. So, David, I wanted to switch gears and talk about Zoom. We talked about them prior. This is a quick one, but really, really interesting. There's an investigation going on with Zoom about some misleading information. They actually said that they help over 300 million daily meeting participants. But at first, they said 300 million users. The stock price today didn't change very much. It's actually, at least an hour ago when I prepared this, it was doing okay. In January, their stock price was 68. On 4/23, 2 weeks ago, let's say, it was 169, and today it's 142, which isn't so bad. Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the misleading info in the investigation. I can see how that's a tricky word. And, you know, when you're saying something to the to the world and the industry, you'll be very careful of your words. So it's participant and not subscribers or users, which is a big difference.
Oh, that was just a mistake. When you're publicly traded, what you say.
I guess we'll find out if anyone's selling any shares right after the spike. The other thing is, and I think we've all heard, Google makes Meet its Zoom and Skype competitor, and it's now free for everyone, as well as Facebook has announced their Rooms product. So there's, I think Zoom is great. I love Zoom. I love GoToMeeting, but these other things for more of non-business use are continuing to open up. I know people are concerned about security, so that's something to think about. But there are competitors on the market. Let's move into
name those competitors real quickly again. I want to write those down.
Absolutely. Google has launched what they call Meet, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T, and Facebook has announced Rooms.
Rooms. Okay. And do they basically function like pretty similar too? Is there any uniquenesses? Have you had a chance to look at them?
Yeah, they're more for, you know, family and friends kind of communication. You
okay.
can't share
yeah.
files and annotate on the screen, things that we like to do from the business side.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, I'm a user of Zoom, and I was annotating and loving that. It's the first time I used the annotation.
Oh, it's
product.
The best.
Yeah, it's just amazing. All right.
It
so
sure
Rooms is there. Go on, let you go on. Sorry, what else you got?
All right, let's keep going.
Good info.
So Zillow has put out a new technology to help smooth the renting process during COVID-19. And so now renters can search, find, apply, and lease their home entirely through Zillow Rentals. It's a flat fee, and renters get to submit an application through the portal for properties that are participating. And it also includes a credit report, background check, and even gives the renter the ability to explain reasons behind any flaws or negative items on their credit report. And then landlords can work digitally with Zillow Rental Manager. The reason why I think this is interesting is I just like how technology continues to move and expand. And if you think about anyone that's rented from a property management company or anyone that rents independently, this is kind of that thing that is sort of a nuisance. And not everybody wants to work with a lease management company. Anyways, Zillow Rentals seems to continue to expand, and I thought that was some new interesting technology. Stratmore, David, we love Stratmore, right? We love all their info, Garth is, and his team, not just Garth, they just do such a good job. Well, they put out their new Insights report, and they really talk about how now to prepare for the extended spike in volumes. They're talking about servicers, by the way. And, you know, they just say that 2008 should have taught us and helped us prepare for a change in the market, which we're having right now, and how we owe it to the borrowers and we owe it to the community to let them know that we understand how different economic situations may change, how we need to respond and help them through these times. And so you want to check it out. You can go to their website. What I thought was really interesting is that MBA had said that the amount of delinquencies in April was 6.99%. And peer group roundtable meetings from MBA and Stratmore now are showing, some people are estimating, just personal estimations, right? But some people are estimating between 15 and 20% that rate could jump to. So all the more reason. Yeah. And you have services right now, by the way, they spent a decade trimming staff and now they're adding staff. So, you know, it gets right into what I said last week. Technology adoption is more significant today than any time in the past. Right. If we need to learn from our lessons past, whether they were positive or negative, and we need to continue to build for the future. And that leads me, David, to just a topic that I wanted to get to today, which really talks about, we talked about in the past, build versus own. Right. And so as we look to actually now plan for the future and we have all these objectives and goals that we want to meet, there's a great article in Banking Dive, and not Banking Dive like a dive bar, but, you know, let's dive in deep. Banking Dive is it's a great online site. And what they talked about really where technology is starving, right, for financial institutions and lenders, applies to lenders as well, is technology. And yeah. It talks about a number of items, and I'm not going to go through them all, but you want to, the same ones that just generalized in banking, whether it's branch transformation or payments, or online banking, right? It's the same thing. It's limited visibility, limited collaboration, not very good tracking, a lot of human error, reporting is messy, it's not scalable, right? And then security is always a concern of ours. So knowing that these are the things that need to be improved and knowing that our back office needs to support our loan officers and they, in effect, are the presence of your institution to your borrowers, and it helps with retaining borrowers, referrals, the entire experience, it's really important that you want to focus on these areas. And especially as our economic times change, there is a structure. And today I'm going to talk briefly just on building your own team and what works, it's very successful. That structure is what we call a triad. And it includes a designer, an engineering person, a programmer, and a product. And that triad is assigned to a project, and that triad's job, they own that piece of technology. So even if you weren't building your own technology, let's say that you were buying and implementing technology, the same thing. You're going to have three people who are ultimately responsible. They're the CEO of that product, and their job is to deliver it. And there's different components in how you manage it. I'll save that for a deeper dive, but just remember, inefficiency, human error, messy reporting, those are areas that are really going to define our business and the ability to truly scale as we look to build for the future. And with that, David, that would be today's report. And hope
good.
Everybody has a
good
fantastic
job.
Week.
Yeah, good. Hope you can stay on the rest in the Hot Topic segment, where we will be interviewing Dale. Love to get into some of your questions for him from a technology standpoint. So good.
I will
appreciate
be
it so much. Meet and Rooms. Wrote that down. Check out those. We need to get a few people that are not paying off of Zoom and get them over to Meeting User Room so we don't run out of space and bandwidth
right.
here, because it's been a challenge. I was talking to someone who was doing Zoom meeting and only heard about the hacking in. Was really bad. I mean, it was Lori Brewer, and
yeah.
they were doing one of their meetings. It was like a one of the webinar kind of things they were using, the Zoom meeting, and they came in and the language, and at least they didn't put up pornography. A lot of them put up pornography inside these when they hack in, and it just screaming obscenities and all kinds of things. They shut it down so fast. So you've got to check this stuff out, and that was even with a password protected one. So Zoom is not perfect. It's certainly it's the one I've switched over to and using now just tremendously and very happy with it. But also check out Meet and Rooms. Thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate you being here, friend. Always, always, always. All right, let's jump over to Andy Schell, the Prophet Doctor, is here with us. That's not just a saying it used to be, but he is truly has a PhD and going for his second PhD. But to us, he's always been the Prophet Doctor as watching out what ails your bottom line. Andy Schell, good to have you here, friend. How are you doing?
Thank you very much, Dave. It's kind of weird still to see people talk to me as Dr. Schell, even when other people say, hey, Joe, how's it going? They still refer to me as Dr. Schell. So I'm getting used to it, but I'm also saying it's okay to call me Andy. Let me jump into the conversation just 30 seconds on what you and Alan were just talking about.
Yeah,
because I've been using GoToMeeting we started with GoToMeeting in our firm 15 years ago, and we still use GoToMeeting, and it works great. They've recently done a new update. They have 75 million meetings a year, and during all this pandemic, when everybody gets on the system, we've had no issues. So I wonder why people are so focused on Zoom when GoToMeeting has a superior product. So I haven't completely figured that out. GoToMeeting needs to hire you help them with their marketing, because they got left in the dust, and they're a better product.
Yeah, we actually used GoToMeeting, and we did that for one of our mastermind groups that we're a part of, and we saw some glaring differences in the two. And so we had, without meeting, then we jumped over and did another one, and then we took a vote with all the ones on the mastermind. 100% says, oh yeah, Zoom is way sizzlier and sexier and much more compelling to use as a platform. It's really interesting. And so, Thursday of this last week.
Yeah, because GoToMeeting did an update that was, interesting. We all have our opinion, and I like GoToMeeting better. So we get to have.
That's good. So,
that's what's awesome about this. We all get to have our opinions.
Andy, I just broke into your Zoom meeting and unmuted myself. Sorry, David. But I just wanted to say I completely agree with you. The GoToMeeting experience, they did an update, and it made half my meetings go sideways for at least a week. So I don't know why and how it happened, but they did change the experience, and I agree with you.
Better? You like it a lot better?
Which ones?
You like GoToMeeting?
No, it made it harder. The GoToMeeting
made
some changes during this pandemic, and it made their interface a lot harder.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
You're
a loyal guy.
Non-scientific surveys. Well, you know what I think about non-scientific surveys, and because I have such an advanced education in statistics and surveying and all this other stuff, we'll have to do a scientific method. And from this point, though, you get to buy what you'd like. So
go on.
Let's get beyond opinion and get into facts.
Yes.
Because we're running late. The show's already 10 minutes late. So today is May the 4th, which is one of my daughter's birthdays. She was born on May the 4th be with you. But we're still dealing with March reporting issues. May the 4th be with you, we're still dealing with... We're still dealing with March 31st. So the NFRF, so if you are an agency seller servicer, you have to submit, and you're a mortgage company, commercial banks don't have to do this. If you're a mortgage company and an agency seller servicer, you have to submit the, it's called the MBFRF, Mortgage Banker Financial Report Form. Everybody in accounting knows about this. It was due on Friday. There's no automatic extension. Now, the submission of the audit was extended to HUD, but there's no automatic extension for the MBFRF. If you didn't file it, you better jump on and request an extension if you don't have your numbers ready yet. And one of the reasons you might not have your numbers for March 31 completed is because they look awful. They were sucky. We had some companies with more of a 1.5% decline in gain on sale because of the inefficiencies in the hedge environment, particularly with the mandatory delivery desks during the craziness as the mortgage-backed security price was moving 4 points in 4 days. So what we have to do, though, is when we look at those hedging losses, we should be able to identify a IRLC or a pipeline gain that offsets those hedging losses. So this really big volume we've had because of the decline in the margin, some companies are losing money despite the fact that we have volume because of this margin decay. But even still, we still have a challenge because some warehouse line lenders won't let you count the IRLC market gain. They make you exclude it. So when you do your debt covenant certificate, it may not look right because you actually for real have IRLC gains beyond just markup. I wrote a whole paper on this topic. It gets complicated really fast. If you want to talk about it, give me a call. But if you're dealing with your warehouse lender and your covenants are failing because they're not including all the pipeline or IRLC gain, let me help, because you legitimately should include the IRLC gains in the March 31 number as an offset to the hedging short position loss. It's not really a loss. It's a hedge position. One goes up, the other goes down. That's how it's supposed to work. But when you look at the numbers, you've got to include both pieces of them at the same time. So it's also probably time to reassess your financial performance with a 1% or 1.5% decline in your gain on sales. Like, what in the world? How did this happen? So I just looked at the markets, and while the MBS current coupon is stabilizing, we're seeing it around 103.5 roughly, Best Efforts is not stabilizing. Best Efforts today has a 200 basis point back off from agency delivery or hedging delivery. So normally it's about 30 basis points. It's 200 basis points. So if your Best Efforts, you've got real challenges with trying to get your rates, have competitive rates in your environment. So today, really the best path is agency direct, and you really can't co-issue either because you can't sell the servicing. So, but you can actually make money holding the servicing. Servicing retain, you actually make, on the Compass Analytics analysis last week, you make 30 basis points retaining servicing. But to do that, you've got to be agency direct, and you've got to have a subservicer already in place. You can't just turn the light switch on. This has to be done in place. So to do that, though, means you've got to have more capital. You've got to have a sophisticated operation. So you've got to launch hedging. And so if you're not already hedging, you need to get into hedging. So that'll help this problem. You got to be careful. This stuff is complicated, is dangerous. So if you're not agency direct, it's important to consider going forward with that. The first step is looking at how do you operate with an agency relationship? And one of the things you have to do is you have to hire a servicing expert. And then you get the servicing expert to engage a subservicer and put all the third-party management controls in place and address the compliance management structure that you have to have for this to even get approved. So it's a lot of pieces to this. But you can do it. Getting into hedging, getting into agency direct will help with this kind of volatility. And even beyond the volatility, it'll help with a more sophisticated operation. But let me firmly suggest, get help. Do not try to do this yourself. Most of the time it fails. Call Dave, call me. We can talk about how to proceed. It's complicated. You're also going to need to talk to Dale Vermillion because you're going to need to grow your business to leverage the capital. You're going to need to make this whole thing work. And Dale's going to talk next. So there you go, Dave.
Yeah.
Very good. And I'll tell you, there's really, you're welcome to call me, but I'll probably refer you over to Andy Schell, honestly, because Andy is one of the best at explaining the complex in a way that you can understand it. And not only that, he mixes it and explains it from a financial standpoint. Does a spectacular job of it, folks. So if you want to get a hold of Andy Schell, email him. He's got a new email address. Ready for this? It used to be Andy at mbs-team.com, but it's now Dr. Dr. Schell, S-C-H-E-L-L, at mbs-team.com. Andy Schell, thanks so much for being such a good friend and being a part of this since the very, very beginning. Your contributions are always so much appreciated. And we got to have a barbecue. Got to plan barbecue here real soon. We live in the same area, listeners, so we do our barbecues at one of our places, favorite places, and it's Opie's Barbecue. Free advertising for Opie's Barbecue.
And while we do that, Dave, let's get together. Let's design a survey that we can launch through SurveyMonkey, and let's come up with the questions to ask to evaluate GoToMeeting versus Zoom.
That's good. Yeah, I love that. That's a good idea. Let's do it. You're right. Things need to be more scientific, although everyone buys on emotion. And, we go through that. A lot of people love that, but they come back to, but it feels good, and I went with this because. I love that idea. Great idea. You do move by facts.
That's a great point, too. I would say that poorly run companies make decisions on emotion. Sustainable run companies generally make decisions based on data.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Perfect. What a great segue into Dale Vermillion's segment. So, hopefully you stay tuned all the way through and get on with Dale. So, folks, those of you listening live, just stay right on here with us because we get ready to head up. But that does wrap up this week's weekly update. So glad to have you on a downloaded basis listening to us. Now, just stay right here and listen to the next hot topic if you're listening on a downloaded basis. Or if you're listening live, just stay tuned. We're ready to get started. It is May 4th, and we are now ready to start today's Hot Topic segment. We have Dale Vermillion on the program. Dale is the founder and CEO of Mortgage Champions, truly, especially in this champions part, does a great job. He has taught over 450 lenders and over 1 million loan officers. Think about that. That is a lot of people, a lot of lenders, over 1 million loan officers on a systematic, value-based approach to sales, customer service, and management that delivers results and builds lasting customer loyalty. Folks, I can tell you firsthand, we had Dale come work with us. I think it was in the mid-90s. Maybe it was after he started. But we were one of his first customers, and we had a last mortgage company that I was a partner in Southern California, United Lending Group. Dale came in, and we had a very definite increase in sales. So I encourage you to get a hold of him. Listen all the way through, but I'm really looking forward to having him on. And Dale, it's good to have you here, friend.
David, what an honor to be back with you, my dear friend. Great to be here.
Well, I appreciate you at the core of who you are, your values. We line up so much in so many ways, and you have a passion, and we share a passion to help make good companies great, and you really do that. And I want to start talking about building successful sales-oriented or sales-centered, metrics-driven, Andy Schell loves that, metrics-driven, and others-first companies. Talk about that, please.
Be glad to, David. Thanks for asking. Well, let's start with the others first piece, because I think that's the primary philosophy behind all of the other things. You know, we've built this as our philosophy for a long time. It's based on my life verse out of Philippians 2, chapters 3 and 4. It just simply says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things with humility. Value others above yourself, looking out for their interests and not your own. My firm belief, David, and you know this, is we've been friends for almost 25 years, is that to build a powerful company, you have to first be focused on your customers and your partners and your employees. If you're a leader, it can never be a self-centered focus. It's got to be a very others first culture, because what that does is that literally draws people in to be successful. Now, how do you combine that with metrics based and technology based? Well, let me say a quick statement about technology that I think is so important. You know, today, if you look at the marketplace today, we are more commoditized right now than we've ever been. That's what the coronavirus has really done. It's commoditized the marketplace because of all of the changes. And when you're commoditized, let me tell you what makes all the difference. How you merge the combination of great service with great relationships, with great technologies. The technologies that you have are critical to succeed, because what technology is designed for is to create efficiencies and to create effectiveness in your productivity. However, what it's not designed for is emotional engagement with people. And in order to survive, in order to succeed, in order to thrive, you've got to combine the two. As I've said many times, it was human innovation that created technology. It's human interaction that maximizes technology. So if you can take and build your organization to
great
be a very
statement.
Others first mindset, where it's geared towards how do we help our customers at all costs? How do we provide for our partners at all costs? How do we treat our employees the best we can? You build that mindset. You bring in the best technologies, and you understand that technology's best when you combine it with relationship, which can only be done through human interaction. You have now built a very powerful system. Now you just layer on top of that the metrics that are necessary, and that's simple. It's making sure that your employees are doing the activities and the actions that demand results. So I'll give you a quick, simple example of this. If I want my sales force to close 15 loans a month, what do I need them to literally do? There's 1,000 answers to that. I'll give you one answer to that. Get them to make one committed sale a day. Because if they get one committed sale a day, they're going to put 21 deals in their pipeline per month. At a typical 70% conversion rate, that's 15 loans a month. It's that simple. If you can build to that, you build a great organization.
That's great. So when you talk about sales, so define a little bit of that. It's not just getting a transaction, but it's selling or getting out and talking to a realtor, a builder, something. Describe that, just a little bit more detail into that part of it when you may go get a sale.
Absolutely. So let's take it on two different fronts. Let's take it first on the consumer front of the transaction.
Right.
The key to a sale is really two significant actions. The first one is establishing enough relationship and loyalty and time with your borrowers to understand what it is you're trying to do for them. Look, the single biggest mistake that I've seen loan officers make my entire career is they don't spend enough time with their customers. So they're trying to solve problems without knowing the problem. You can't do that. And in today's marketplace, because of
they don't take the time to find out what the problem is. So much of the problem is.
That's exactly right. And today, when you think about today's consumer and the change that the COVID-19 and coronavirus pandemic has had on human beings, is everybody's isolated today. The need for relationship has never been greater because people want to connect. That's our human desire. Therefore, you've got to build that relationship to understand it. But then on the backside of that, you've got to get commitment at the point of application. The number one mistake, David, that I see in the sales side is we take an application, we get a borrower interested, and then we end that call without capturing documentation that establishes commitment. So now they go shop us, and they end up going to another competitor because there's always somebody cheaper than you. You've got to make sure you establish it right on the consumer side. On the partner side, it's being consistent with your partner, staying in contact with them, making sure you're establishing a relationship. And you and I talked about a big mistake that loan officers make, and it's this. The loan officer kills themselves to get a relationship with a realtor, okay? The realtor gives them the business because they say, you know, you're the guy I want talking to my customers. And then what do? They hand that off to a loan assistant who is handling the transaction instead of the person that the realtor wants. What you want to make sure with your partners is you are present, not just with them, but with the consumers also. So you really connect those two pieces together.
There's a place for the loan assistant, but it's making sure when it comes to the communication that you're leading it all the way. I think that's a point. To be able
absolutely
to maximize everything. Yeah. I love
absolutely
it. I love it.
Their role is to back you up and to
back
do all
exactly
of the things that, yeah, that you don't have the time to do if you're a top flight loan officer. But you've got to connect with that consumer so that literally what happens is, I mean, imagine this. You've got a real estate partner. They refer a customer. You make an instantaneous call or you take that call from that customer and you connect with them within minutes. You introduce yourself. You set it up for your LOA. That realtor is going to get a call from that consumer saying, oh my gosh, that person you referred me to not only contacted me in less than 5 minutes, they were phenomenal, and they gave me this great person that I'm going to be working through my loan all the way to closing. That's the way you do business.
So good. That's so good. Let's talk about how when it comes to balancing technology, I know you believe in it, using technology, and the services mortgage companies offer with the relationship aspect of the business. Can you tell us some of the common errors companies are making? And with working with 450 companies, I bet you've got a few examples.
Yep. So the single biggest mistake is this, that we have a lot of online applications today. And what we do is we let the customer do all the work, and we don't engage with them during that process to handle the relationship side of it. Again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Technology is not designed for the emotional engagement piece of the relationship. It's only designed to gather the information to be able to make it available to customers when they want to be, and to expedite the process. So you need to make sure that you're co-piloting with them through this process, so that if you've got an online application, you're still making that connection to create the human side of that, to create that emotion and connection that's so necessary, that leads to loyalty, that leads to trust, that leads to a better understanding of what they're trying to accomplish, so you can provide better solutions for them. That's absolutely critically important. Second is, in today's marketplace, use your technologies the right way. And what I mean by that is, we should be very visual and vocal today, talking to customers as much as we can, whether it's Zoom or GoToMeeting, whichever one you want, you know, using those technologies and having conversations, not just texting and emailing. That is not going to build connection. That is a mistake that people make all the time.
Yeah, that's good. What can people do to find this balance? I believe in texting because text message is read within 5 seconds or less, usually within 3 seconds when it's sent. And there is a place for text message because if you send an email, 37% of them are read. And the nice thing about a text message, it has that kind of read rate, and it's usually within 3 to 5 seconds. So there's a place for technology. So help us work through that balance. And then when to use video, how do you create the efficiency? Because I know you do a lot of efficiency consulting as well. So when it comes to sales, work that out for us. Your recommendations.
So don't confuse the connection and information part of technology with the relational aspect of technology. That's the whole secret to really being successful. So text is absolutely powerful. It is much faster in response than email is. It's much more personal to that user in doing that, but it still does not establish the relationship. So if I want a customer to get back to me from a lead very quickly, my first line of attack is going to be to call them and try to contact them. If I miss them, I'm going to text them immediately to get back in contact with them, and then follow as email as the third avenue within that. The key here is I still want to have that conversation with them, but I want to use text as much as I can for quick answers, quick contact, and quick ways to get in touch with my customers. They're probably much more readily available to respond to than they would an email. The key is still making sure you're triggering that relational conversation because, again, I'm going to say it time and again, can't solve what you don't understand.
That's so good. You can't solve what you don't understand. So let's get our regulars in on this. Start with Andy Shell, then go to Alan, and then Joe. So, Andy, I know you are. He's already hit on some wonderful hot buttons for you that you're a big fan of. So,
hi, Dale. Thanks for your amazing comments. I've been taking notes and been really aligned with everything that you've been saying. And I think about the origination sales force that I've worked with directly or indirectly over the years, and even just very recently, and the reality of your words and seeing those words and the actions that strive from them embodied in the actions of originators seems to have a disconnect. And it's been like this I've been in mortgage lending 40 years, and it seems like sometimes where it lands, and sometimes where it doesn't land as effectively. But what can you say about how to improve the stickiness so that people embrace your comments to their core being rather than just acting it, but believing it, and the actions come from an inner decision?
Great question, Andy. So there's the way that I view this. There are only two sales approaches that are available to any sales force. There's the quality approach and there's the quantity approach. Your comments are exactly correct. Most salespeople that I train when I first meet them are taking the quantity approach. Let's talk to as many people as we can for as quick as we can, make as many offers as we can and see what sticks. And the fact is, not a lot happens is you're basing the entire decision for the consumer on price and product because there is no relationship, there is no trust, and there is no true loyalty established. There might be some level of trust, but it's not the depth you want it to be. And when it's a price and product decision, they're going to go to the cheaper product. But the quality approach is where you say, you know what, let me rethink my strategy. If it literally takes one committed sale a day where I spend enough time where I loosen up that customer to not only give me all the information I need and get to know them better to make a better solution, but get access to their documentation, which technology is great in that area. We can get it online very quickly today. Then what happens is you've got a truly committed borrower that's not going to back out on you in the end result. So your numbers go up, and if you can do that two times a day, you're closing 30 loans a month. Three times a day, 45 loans a month. I have trained tens of thousands of 30 to 50 loan a month producers around the country on this simple process of taking a quality versus a quantity approach.
Wow.
Great point.
Great stuff. Thanks, Dale.
Alan.
You're welcome.
Good stuff. Well, I did the same. I actually made some notes. And you said one thing before, you know, use your technologies the right way. And you all said make conversations. It's so funny because a year and a half to 2 years ago, I built an artificial intelligent human that in the financial institution world that basically it was a trusted relationship. And that's one thing that you sort of touched on, right? You have to understand the person you're talking to. And what was kind of unique is I brought it to market as a pilot and to talk to people. And what I learned is not a conversational designer. And that is a true job role. People really do go to college for that. But I don't know if you've had any experience there. I thought maybe because you said that, use technologies the right way and make conversations, if you could shed some more light on what maybe you've experienced that works and doesn't work.
Yeah, so I will tell you that this is the big missing puzzle within the mortgage industry, because what happens too many times is, you know, everything is electronic now. We get on the phone with a customer, and what do? We go from screen to screen, box. It's what I say, it's a very interrogational approach to sales instead of a conversational approach to sales. And we know that's not how people buy. A mortgage is the single largest, most personal financial decision people make in their lifetime in most cases. The more you understand them and the more you break down the resistance by building relationship, the less they focus on price and product and the more they focus on how you can help them. It's interesting. I had a client I worked with, a large bank last year. The loan officers kept telling me, oh, it's all about rate. And I said, okay, I'm going to listen to 25 calls, recorded calls. Out of the 25, literally only 2 out of the 25 of the customers actually were the ones who brought up the rate. The other 21 times it came up, it was a loan officer who raised the question, not the consumer. So we tend to move into transactional instead of emotional conversations. We need to get more to the emotional side. When somebody says, what's your rate? Simple answer. They're as good as anybody out there today. We're all commoditized today. My rates are fantastic. We're at the lowest rates in history, but here's the deal. I'm going to show you ways to save money and ways to get a mortgage that nobody else can. And I just need 20 minutes of your time to show you how. And if I can't, you don't have to work with me. You can work with somebody else. And no, almost every consumer will take that bet. And you end up winning the deal because you get the time with them to win the loyalty over that's so important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's great. I would completely agree with you.
Yeah. Joe Farr, good to have you with us in the interview here. What questions do you have for our good friend?
Yeah, Dale, you mentioned an Others First company, and I don't know if I interpreted that right or not, but in the past, I had issues with the personalities in the process, and a lot of people to do the task to close a loan. Usually the salesperson has the more aggressive, more assertive personality, if you will. So that Others
yep.
First concept, does that pertain to within the company, you know, as far as creating a team that works together?
You know, it's funny. David had mentioned that I've worked with over 450 companies, and I think we're closer to 600 now, believe it or not. And I will
wow.
tell you that the companies who have stood out, literally, and every one of them I've worked with, we've seen their numbers go up. But the ones who have doubled and tripled numbers, they take this as their corporate philosophy, and they literally apply to every human being within their organization, whether your operations, your sales, your leadership. If your leadership, your role and goal is to make your employees the most important thing, to make sure you give them the best you can every single day. When you do that, they're very loyal and do a great job for you. Your employees have to do the same with the customers and the partners. They have to have the mindset that we're here to make sure that customer gets the very best loan, that our partners get the very best service. And when people work from that vantage point where they're always looking out for the other, what happens is you remove selflessness within that or selfishness. I mean, within that, and you create selflessness in place of that. And everybody wants to work for a company like that, and everybody wants to work with a company like that, and the numbers just start to escalate quickly.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we're talking about, you know, what it takes to create synergy and teamwork between operations and sales and productivity. Could you give us, again, some insights of what you recommend, what you find that works best, and how you go about that? If someone were to retain you, how would you advise them?
Well, the number one thing is you got to make sure that, first off, each side understands the other side's role. You know, one of the things that I commonly will tell my clients is, or I'll ask the question, when's the last time your operational team has spent any time with a loan officer seeing what the sales side does? And when's the last time your sales team has spent any time with the operations team understanding what they do? You know, it's amazing when you see the other side.
It's amazing.
How quickly your opinion changes.
Yes.
So once that happens, that helps starts to change things. And then the key is making sure that you've got good, consistent communication. You know, I'm constantly working with teams on making sure they're establishing weekly calls between operations and sales, which a lot of them didn't do before I walked in the door, to create a level of communication where you can work through issues, work together, and start to build trust between those two sides, because you have to work together to be successful.
That is so true. I'm chuckling about this because it's one of those things when I was a loan officer and I did not have the appreciation on the other side. I'll never forget the day when my boss came and ruined my day. He says, "Dave, I got some good news. We got a new spot in the corporate office for you." And I thought, oh, this is a promotion. It wasn't. I had to go in and work as a processor, as an opener, and they made me work through all those channels because I was such a complete pain in the derriere for all those that were. And I came out of that, Dale, with such an appreciation that is so amazing. Andy Schell just texted me a question. Andy, jump on in if you want and ask it. This is a great time for that. Go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. Hey, Dale, I had another thought. So you started the discussion talking about being other-centeredness or other-centered. So, and I love that. I think how can we help others being focused on what the needs of the others are? But also in the sales process, you've referenced about controlling the relationship, controlling the customers, controlling the partners. I wonder if you could take just a minute and describe the conflict there and how to do both other-centeredness and control at the same time.
Man, great question, Andy. So here's your answer, okay? And any psychologist will agree with you that this is the right answer. When you think about how do you control a conversation or a relationship, if you were to ask most salespeople that question, their answer would be to tell people something, to talk. Well, Brian Tracy, one of the best trainers of all time, said this: telling is not selling. And that's absolutely right. I've taught this to every salesperson I've ever trained. The only time you actually control a conversation is when you're asking questions. So if I were to ask any one of you on this call your name or your favorite color or your favorite sports team, the only thing you can focus on to answer that question is my question. So I'm literally in control of that, even though you're the one doing the talking. The mistake is most people think if they just get on and talk, they're in control. But no, that person's not paying one bit of attention necessarily to what's coming out of their mouth.
Good
so
point.
We need to switch from telling everybody what we're going to do for them to getting and saying, look, before we get into that, let me just tell you a few things about me, but I really want to hear about what you're trying to accomplish. And as they start to speak, you're actually in complete control of that conversation, and they love it because now they're having a listening person who they know is paying attention to what they're telling them, and they feel like you're actually serving them well when you do that. It changes the entire way that you communicate, and it changes your relationship immensely.
Perfect. Yeah, I personally call it the control through listening. It's
control
awesome.
Through listening. Yeah.
Hard to do, but great stuff.
It is hard to do, Andy, and that is, it's learning that listening, you can be in control. A lot of people say, if I'm not talking, I'm not in control. Wrong. You got to get a hold of Dale and get that corrected. That is for sure. You know, one of the things, Dale, when we've been together, you talk about something called pawning, and it's a mistake. What considerations should we have about taking control of our customers and partners? Talk about that.
So when you're talking about pawning is specifically, I talked about it earlier, where, you know, really great loan officers that I meet around the country who are really good at at hunting and getting realtors and getting partners and building those relationships. When they get the actual leads, they pawn those off too quickly. You don't need to spend 45 minutes with them. Yeah, you don't need to spend 45 minutes with the customers. You just need to spend enough time to establish that high level of service and that relationship and that integrity so that you've been known by them. And when that happens, it changes the entire transaction.
That's so good. Yeah, that is so important. When it comes to all the various teams that you've worked with, can you talk a little bit as we wrap up the interview about the importance of achieving differentiation in a competitive and oftentimes over-commoditized environment that we find ourselves, especially now?
Absolutely. So the key to differentiation is to remember what you control and what you do not. So most companies that I talk to, when I ask them the question, what makes you different? Their answers almost always fall back to three areas: price, product, and program, including their technology.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they answer, I look up at them and I go, all right, let me ask you a question. Isn't there a cheaper price lender out there, or many of them? They go, well, yeah. Okay. And doesn't the products you have, doesn't almost everybody have those products? Well, yeah. And can't anybody buy those technologies? Well, yeah. Okay. So how is that your differentiator? That's not your differentiator. Your differentiator is not the price, product, and programs. It's the relationship you establish, it's the service you provide, and it's the approach that you take with your customers and your partners in really establishing a different mindset. So in other words, the human side is what makes you different, not the product side, because everybody's got the same price, product, and program at the end of the day, but not everybody can be you, and not everybody can have a crack sales force that is great with their customers. That's where you create your differentiation. It's the thing I talk about all the time with clients. When I'll be talking to a prospective client who's thinking about hiring me, and they'll say, well, you know, we don't really have a budget for training. I'll go, that's okay. Do you have a budget for marketing? They go, well, yeah. I go, okay, how much you spend? And they'll tell me millions of dollars. I say, okay, so you're spending millions of dollars to market leads to hand to people who aren't well trained to execute on those because they don't know how to
communicate. That's where we were. Yeah, that's where we were. And then, we were spending over $1.5 million a month on our direct mail campaigns way back in, this back in the late 90s, and when you came in, and we were having this very problem. The result that you had was tremendous. Alan just shot me a quick text, has a quick question for you. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Dale, you know, it made me think, for somebody that wants to work with you, what are the next steps? You know, do most people truly know where their challenges are or where they want to improve, and they just say, hey, you know, it takes us 8 times through a chat bot to talk to somebody, or we use the best technology, or you have to go in and really just listen, learn, and understand. I just thought for our audience, it may be good to hear more about what you do in your next steps.
Every client who contacts us, who has any level of interest in working with us, I always start with a 1-hour orientation to just really get to know them and understand their business. And I know exactly the right questions to ask to uncover needs that they may not even realize they have at the point they do. I mean, after 25 years of doing this, and as many years I've done this, you kind of know the common mistakes that happen out there. So, you know, it's a thing that I teach to loan officers. You know, before you start to solve, understand what the true problems are, what the true needs are. And that's what we do, is we spend time to really help customers think through their culture, their process, you know, their synergies between their ops and sales teams, their leadership mindset. We ask all the right questions to understand that. And then once we do that, we can tell them then where we know we can make a big difference in their organization. And that's how I've worked for 25 years.
There's so much good information there. We've run out of time, Dale. We're just at the end of it. So how can people get a hold of you? I got some questions coming in from listeners. As you provide that, I may get slipped in one last question.
Thanks for asking. Just go to DaleVermillion.com. That's our website. Or, you know, I'm on just about every social media you can be on. So if you just Google my name, you're going to find me. There's no question about it.
There's a list of questions coming in. This is one that I want to get to real quickly. Any thoughts you have on Consumer Direct as a business model?
You definitely want to have a Consumer Direct division. In fact, I work with a lot of retail companies, and one of the constant things that I'm recommending to them is build a Consumer Direct partner within your business so that as the market shifts, you can address both sides of the equation. It's going to help build better stability for your organization. And you know what? Consumer Direct's never going away, particularly with technology being what it is. It's actually going to get stronger over time. So
Yeah, I share that same opinion. Our last mortgage company was 20 years ago, Consumer Direct. We were one of the leaders in it. You were there at the very foundation of it when we were really getting cranking it up in a big way. It made such a huge difference. Dale Vermillion, so fun to have you here. Got to have you back. Sorry, it's been so long to have you here. And so we got to have you back, friend. Really do.
Would be honored, David. I just want to thank you for all that you're doing in the industry, man. You guys and your team are such a light, and you're adding such value. Mm-hmm. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for having me here today.
Well, we're on the same team, Dale. We're all trying to make a difference in this industry, and it's the values that we go at things that really bond you and I together. We have such strong core values, and I'm just so grateful for our friendship, grateful for you, and more excited to share you with our listening audience. And folks, get Dale in. Not only will he help your business, but the best part of it is it's all about results, and Dale gets them. I was on the executive team that brought him in, our last mortgage company. You would have told me, I would have said, not possible. Won't even tell you how much it was because you won't believe me, folks. It was a huge lift, significant. Dale, thanks so much for being here with us today, friend. Really appreciate you. Same back
Thank
at
you, David. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you too, my friend. Appreciate it. We've had as our guest Dale Vermillion, founder and CEO of Mortgage Champions. As I'm sitting here on this podcast, just got an email from Gregory Keith. He got clearance from the senior manager there, or the powers to be at Jenny Mae. So we're working on getting Greg in to talk about qualifications and what does it take to be Jenny Mae approved. Really excited about this podcast, folks. Send me your recommendations on what you'd like for future guests. Get a lot of feedback. Dave, great podcast today. We've worked with Dale in another one. We've worked with Dale in the past. He is, I got to tell you, first thumbs up, top drawer, some of the best material. We're still using it. It's been years. We need to have him back. Great comments coming in, Dale. Really appreciate it. So, folks, it's been great to have you here. Appreciate you for being here. You got raving fans, Dale. I'm just looking at them all coming in. It's crazy. It's loving it. Loving it.
Appreciate that.
You betcha, friend. I'll say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Finastra, LenderOne, as well as Mortgage Collaborative, the CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders Association of America, as well as Indicom, Incelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, AI Assist, Celebrity Home Loans, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Modex, Velma, VendorSurf, and Vidyard. Got the V's in here, the last three V's at the end. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a great week. Be sure to tell your friends about this podcast. Share this podcast and look forward to having you back next week. Have a blessed week. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.